to be like Jesus. Yes, it's my desire to be like Him. Though often I have failed and brought Him much shame, but it's my desire to be like Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see this way. I too was once so lost. Thank God I found this way.
Desire tonight? Amen. If we can just draw closer and be like Him, it makes everything better. God bless you. It's an honor and a privilege to be in church. Let's stand. This is 113 in your hymn book. Be thankful you have a place you can leave your burdens. I know I am.
If this world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, oh, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Just take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And when your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. And He will make a way for you. He will lead you safely through. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, and He will never leave you then, He'll go with you to the end. Just take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven. Shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory. Why don't you turn and greet one another this evening? that Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven and shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. So thankful for the Lord setting us free. It's good to be here tonight. I'd like to announce Youth Bible Study will be tomorrow evening. That'll be from 7:30 to 9:30 here in the basement of the church for the youth ages 10 to 30, never married. So if you're here tonight, can come tomorrow night. That'd be wonderful. If you have friends, you can bring. So I believe that'll be a blessing to you. Got an update from Sister Stephanie that her nephew is still in the hospital in a coma. So we definitely want to remember him in prayer. A couple of prayer requests here from Brother Layton. Brother Gary Parker fell down the last four of his basement steps and hit a table, causing broken ribs and contusions. So, and then Sister Jessie Mae Phillips, that's Sister Brenda Layton's aunt, has fallen twice, cut the back of her head open, and her husband, Brother Royal, are both sick. And also remember Brother Japheth and his family. They'll be traveling out of town on Friday. An unspoken prayer request for Brother Joshua Johnson. And I'm asking that you guys please remember Ethan in prayer. He had a rough night. He was up vomiting, and we're having some diet adjustment challenges. And so if you'll remember him in prayer, and also please remember Sister April in prayer for strength. Thank you. And Sister Teresa Sargent asked that we please put in a prayer request for my friend's husband. He is about 30 years old with brain tumor and an appendix tumor from being a chemical engineer in the military in Dubai. They don't have money or insurance for his medical needs to get anything done. They have a small child about 2 years old, and he is not a Christian. So certainly want to remember him for his physical needs, but mainly for his spiritual needs. So God's able to move on the scene there. If you have a need you'd like to make known before the Lord with an uplifted hand, he sees your hand, and he's aware. Brother Wade, it's good to have you in service tonight, brother. Glad you made it back. Could you come up and pray over prayer request for us this evening, please? Thank you.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, you've heard these petitions, Lord. They've been laid at your feet. They've been given to a God who is almighty, who doesn't fail, who can meet every need. And Father, I won't be able to list them out, but there were falls that were there, and there were people in hospitals, and there's just thinking of Ethan and the things that he's struggled through, Lord. Sister April being a help to him, and Lord, just each one of these situations, they're unique, but you're a unique God. You can touch each and every one of these and make them just perfect. Father, we give them to you, Lord. You've beckoned us to do so, and we respond, Lord. We love you so much. We just ask for you to be amongst us tonight, Lord. You promised it, and we know, but we're so grateful when you're there, and we just feel your presence, and it just... It's why we gather, Lord, to hear your word and to be with you. Bless each and every one that's here. Open up their hearts, Lord, to the word that we hear tonight. And Father, just we commend this service to you, that all things be done according to thy will. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. It's been requested that Sister Dottie sing for us this evening, so we're going to ask her to come and sing. God bless you.
When I look around and see all the good him for. Sometimes while on this way I kneel and stop and say thank you for all you've done for me. One day I'll reach heaven sure, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank him for. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. Got so much to thank him for. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for.
Hey man, sure appreciate that, Sister Dottie. I'd like to thank Brother Azariah for helping us out with the mics for specials and things. That's a blessing. We do truly have so much to thank him for. Amen. The brothers would please come at this time.
One night while long life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, well, my heart sank with fear. Oh, my desperate cry, it rang out with pride, and all I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, oh, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then Jesus, thank you, Lord, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since he walked through the storm, he came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. Thank you, Lord. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Far, my Jesus was near. Oh, he rescued my soul and he calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I'm
His plans had moved forward, try to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? My destruction was a matter of time. Then Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this boy is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. Jesus walked through my storm. He came looking. Oh, if you'd like for him to walk through your storm, why don't we stand and sing it? He came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. Oh, and he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Oh, more time together. Oh, he came looking for me. Thank you, Lord. He came looking for me. Oh, and he made a way. There was no way that I could see. Oh, when I tripped it far, Jesus was near. I'm safe from all harm. Oh, yes, I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Sounds like you came to have church. Sounds like some of you might need to be in church tonight. And I don't know about you. Sometimes by Wednesday, I'm ready to be back in church and have another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there's something about it. It just encourages us and for licks of fire to come together and worship the Lord and together. So I don't know about you. I need a spiritual recharge every once in a while. So I hope that's what we have tonight. Amen. St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And I just want to read verse 12 tonight in that place. And then we'll read some other quotes and scriptures, Lord willing. But we want to continue to look at yielding tonight, just to yield to Him. And I think many times Brother Branham mentions it, and I believe that it is very true of the condition of all of us probably as believers. Many times we fail to recognize our potential and we live below our standards as believers. It's not for a lack of word. We have plenty of word. We have plenty of promises. But many times getting our faith up to that level to receive the word in the way that it was given is a hard thing to do. We get our flesh in the way, our fears, our thoughts, our background, other people's opinions, and our failures and our inabilities and things like that. We begin to look at all that if we're not careful. And if you remember, Peter, the only man that I know of in the scripture besides Jesus that walked on the water, he did really well when he began to walk on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he began to look to the left and the right and he began to see winds and waves and circumstances and things like that, he began to sink. And thankfully, he served the same God that we do, that even though he was sinking, there was one that will never sink that could reach a hold and grab him and pull him back up. But I want us to maybe, I guess we could look at it this way, of yielding in a way that we're totally just keeping our eyes on Jesus. Yes. Instead of looking to the left and the right and all the other things. If we can just keep centered in the Word, then I think everything will come out okay. St. John chapter 14, verse 12, Brother Bram quotes this many, many times throughout the message. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Lord, we're such an unworthy people in ourselves, in our humanity, in our flesh. And yet on the other hand, Lord, we're a righteous, ordained, called, predestinated people, not because of anything that we did, but because of what you did.
Amen.
And Lord, we come before your throne tonight. There are many prayer requests, many needs, some of them physical, mental, spiritual, financial, different things that Lord, that our needs represented. But Lord, you know all about each one, and you knew about it before the request was made or before the hand was raised. And I just ask that you'd help us again tonight here as a group of believers. Lord, not so that we can go out and say, what a great church we are, what a great pastor, what a great this, what a great that, great song leader, great person in the pew or whatever it would be, Lord. Not so that we can say that, but so that you would get glory again.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you just come in a mighty way. Lord, just help me to get myself so yielded to you that I could get in a channel where you could use me to minister to the needs of the people. Lord, just feeling an atmosphere of worship and an atmosphere where people have had hardships this week and going through trials and facing mental pressures and physical sickness and spiritual wickedness in high places and pressures of the enemy and all kinds of things that they go through and they face. And for those that will go back and listen, Lord, maybe they're in an oppressed stage, or maybe they've been sitting under some form of creeds or legalism or formalities of tradition that the word has been none effect to them, Lord, but may something inside of us stir up tonight to recognize the reality of the promises of God.
Yes.
That it's not something for 2,000 years ago or 60 years ago, but that it's still the word today. And if there's a tomorrow, it'll still be the same word tomorrow that we can depend on, Father. Help us, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. These words that Jesus speaks in St. John 14, as you notice, and as I mentioned Sunday morning, in the scriptures that we read there about the resurrection and things that Jesus shared with the disciples as he was getting ready to go to Gethsemane and to Calvary, some of these statements that he makes, he never made these statements when Judas was still present. But as Judas slips out in St. John chapter 13, he begins to share some things with the disciples that he couldn't share with them while Judas was sitting there. He couldn't tell Judas this scripture. Because it didn't apply to Judas. Now, he could say, you're clean, but not all, with Judas sitting there. And he could say many other things. But he couldn't say this scripture truthfully to Judas, that the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Because there was no way that Judas could perform this. There was nothing within him to be able to fulfill this scripture. But now he has 11 men sitting there that he says this scripture to. This just wasn't something that was just sweet to say, or just something that, well, I'll just try to encourage him a little bit. But this was the word of God spoken through the corporal lips of Jesus Christ. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to unto my Father. Now, I'm glad that he didn't just name the 11 there and say, well, Peter, if you believe in me, and then the works that I do, or James or John or Thomas or whichever one it was sitting there, I'm glad he didn't just say, if the apostles will do this, or if the people in this generation will do this, but he makes this statement to anybody that will believe on him. That goes beyond the apostles. It goes beyond St. Paul. It goes beyond Brother Branham. It goes beyond the pastor. It goes beyond the deacons. It's he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. How many believes on him tonight?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Then this scripture applies to you, or Jesus lied. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What is the works of God, 1959? Brother Branham said, now if we can find out what Jesus was when he was in Galilee,
than if he's in Los Angeles tonight, where he was preaching there in 1959. But we'll say it this way. If he's in New Albany tonight, he will do and act and be as he was then. If we can find out what he was when he was back there in Galilee, the way that he acted, the works that he did, the words that he said, the expressions that he had, the response that his ministry had upon the people, the signs and wonders and miracles and actions that he did when he was in Galilee, if we can find out what he did back then we should be able to recognize how he would act in New Albany tonight. He said, or it would be a different Jesus than it was then. He's got to be the same every way, but working through your flesh and my flesh. As he, God, worked through Christ or Jesus' flesh in that day. If he doesn't act the same way tonight as he did back there in Galilee, if you claim to have the Holy Spirit and the actions and the way, the conditions that you're living in, I'm not saying we can never make a mistake. Don't get me wrong tonight. But if the actions and the intent of your heart and the signs and wonders following, if it doesn't imitate the life that he had back there 2,000 years ago, then you have a different Jesus. I don't want a different Jesus. As I've quoted before, one of these pastors that left the message told somebody that he said he's following an easier Jesus now. Well, I don't want an easier Jesus. I want the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. I want the Jesus with signs and wonders following. I don't want a Jesus that'll let me wear sissy shorts and that'll let me, you know, have hair down my back and that'll let me run around and smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol and do all those things and just whatever you want to do. God loves you. I don't want a doty Jesus of somebody's make-believe imagination. I want the same Jesus that was back there, the same actions that he had, the same signs, the same wonders, the same delivering power that he had back there. That's the Jesus that I want, because he said he'd be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that's either true or it's false. So when we go to see that, there are many Jesuses in the world today, men named Jesus or Jesus or whatever it would be, but no matter how good they would be or no matter how well they could imitate, if they could have long hair and a beard and could wear a robe or whatever it would be, if their actions in their life is different than what he did, then they're of no part of him. But when they can come, and whether your name's Jesus or Nathan or David or Bill or Bob or whatever it would be, when you can come and the same works that he did, that people can see that manifested in your life, then we can recognize that's a believer. Amen. Amen. That's a disciple. That's a follower of Jesus, because he's working in the same way. When he prays for somebody, there's an answer. Amen. When there's an urgency, when there's a need, it's somebody that we can have confidence in to reach out and pray for you, or somebody that we can have confidence in when we're going through a trial or a burden. We can share with them what we're going through, and they won't run and tell their mom and 50 other people what's going on, but they'll be a burden bearer with us and somebody that'll be a help to us. And they can be somebody that when you're suffering, they can suffer with you. And when you're rejoicing, even if they're suffering, they can rejoice with you. Amen. The works that he did will do also. The manifestation of the Spirit will be in our life. The same characteristics that he had of love and forgiveness and compassion and grace will be expressed through our life if we're really a believer. Amen. If the Holy Spirit is really dwelling there. So we can look and compare. How do you know, Brother Nathan, if you've really got the genuine article? Well, we can look back there and see what he was, and then we can look and see what our life is producing now and see whether it's the same Jesus or whether we have some traditional idea or nominal idea or some personality's idea or whatever it would be of Jesus. But I want to go back tonight and look and see what he did back there, and see how our life matches up to it. St. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So if you don't believe in going to the church, or if you don't believe in preaching the gospel of the kingdom, then it can't be the same Spirit of Jesus Christ, because it's acting differently than it did back then. I'm just going to preach the word to you tonight, if that's okay. and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. So if you believe that miracles are gone and the days of miracles are past and that signs and wonders died with the apostles or died with the prophet, then it's not the same Jesus of back there. Amen. It's a different Jesus. That were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Amen. Amen. He didn't just heal toothaches and backaches, but they brought into him demon-possessed people and epileptic people and tuberculosis cases and all kinds of cases, and yet he was able to heal them. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit that's living in you, the fullness of that was living on the inside of him. Amen. You mean we're all going to raise the dead, Brother Nathan? We're all going to do this, that, or the other? No, you may never raise the dead. But I will say this. If you're ever in a place and a time when somebody dies and it's not their time yet, then you as a believer, whether you have the office of a prophet or pastor or evangelist or missionary or whatever you are, it doesn't matter your title. It matters the blood tag back at Calvary. Amen. Brother Bam said that Jesus isn't going to look and say, are you Methodist? Are you Baptist? Are you this? Do you belong to that church or this group or this organization or whatever? He said he's going to look at the blood tag. Amen. Amen. It didn't say there's power, wonder-working power in the church at the open door. That's not what it says. It didn't say there's power in Nathan Bryan or there's power in this man or there's power in that man. There's power in this office or power in that title. It said there is power in the blood. Amen. So if you're under the blood and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you've got power tonight. Amen. You may not, the power isn't your own, but you have the authority to orchestrate the power. Amen. Why? How is it, Brother Nathan? The authority of the word. Every believer. Brother Branham said, every believer has the right to pray for the sick. Every believer has the right to baptize. So don't leave it all. Don't leave the power up here on the platform tonight. But Brother Branham said, he's the God of the audience as well. Amen. He's God out there just the same as he is up here. In fact, if we have more than two people out there with the Holy Ghost, he's more out there than he is up here. Amen. Because those licks of fire, we've got two up here by the grace of God, but I hope we've got a whole lot more than that out there. So Brother Bram teaches us that he's the God of the audience, that signs and wonders, you'll never find it in the scripture where it says that signs and wonders just followed Jesus or signs and wonders just followed the prophets or the apostles, but signs and wonders were to follow the believer. So if you're a believer tonight, maybe you look and see things that happen in prayer lines up here, or you listen to tapes and hear things that happen out there, and the devil tries to rob you of your victory because he'll say, you haven't done anything like that. You haven't called anybody out and said their name and address. And you haven't laid hands on somebody and instantly be delivered of back problems or hepatitis or cancer or something like that. But how many of you little mothers out there have prayed for a sick child with a fever and God come down and heal it? How many of you prayed when you lost a ring or lost your cell phone or lost your car keys and Jesus Christ come and do it? It's signs and wonders following the believer. But we'll let the devil many times belittle that and say, well, you haven't raised anybody from the dead lately. Well, boo, devil, neither have you. Amen. In fact, I don't want to get you too scared tonight, but neither did Brother Branham, neither did Paul, neither did Peter, neither has any other man that's ever walked in shoe leather but Jesus Christ. Now, they may have prayed for the person, but if anybody got raised or healed or delivered, it was Jesus Christ that did the work. Amen. Now the man, whoever he was, whatever his office, prophet, preacher, priest, king, whatever, he could have had faith to put that in action. But listen, you can have faith to put it in action too. God calls us to different places. God didn't call me to be the seventh church age messenger. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to force ourselves into some position that we're not called to. Many of you, God will probably never call you to be a pastor or a song leader or something like that. You can't force yourself into that place. But don't let the devil tell you that that means that you don't have a work to do. Every one of us has a work to do. And every one of us should have some form of signs and wonders following, or we're not a believer. Because if you're a believer, there will be some form of signs and wonders following. Even if it's just that, well, I prayed for my neighbor and they got healed. That's signs and wonders following. Amen. Amen. If you're somebody that has the ear of God, that when you pray, he answers, that's something to be pretty proud of. amen, regardless of title. There's a lot of people that pack titles of pastor and different things that don't have that ability. So if you, whether your title is housewife or carpenter or trustee or electrician or plumber or deacon or whatever it is, regardless your title, I'm not looking at titles tonight. I don't care whether anybody recognizes my title or not, but I want to be able to recognize him and the power of his resurrection, and him to be able to recognize me, that he said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Whether anybody knows my title or not, as long as I can just have a connection to the throne, that's what I care about. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. My, you talk about a confused church. I'm sure they weren't all sitting orderly like you are tonight. They didn't just bring him the toothaches and the sisters that were, help me, Brother Nathan. I'm struggling with, the devil keeps trying to tempt me to go in and get the scissors and trim a little bit of my hair or something. They weren't just bringing him the nice calm cases like that. There was people outside the door having epileptic fits and demons speaking out and crying out and hollering and all kinds of things. And they brought these type of people and gathered them to him to pray. And when they began to see what was taking place, it said all the city was gathered together at the door. Now, I recognize in this day and age that there's going to be many, doesn't matter how many dead are raised, doesn't matter how many sick are healed or how many signs and wonders and changed lives we can show them. There will be some that will never believe, but I do believe that the more that God does and the more that people can see in you on your job and at your school and out on the streets out here, that the more people that will begin to gather at the doors and say, hey, we want what you've got. Amen. I need deliverance like Brother so-and-so got, and I need healing like Sister so-and-so got. Amen. I want to be the type of church that can let somebody come and experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and not push them away at the door because they don't meet our standard in the first service that they attend. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Oh my, wouldn't that be good when the devil would try to speak to you and you just say, shut up, devil, I didn't tell you you could speak, because they knew him. Now, they knew him, and remember that when the seven sons of Sceva went and they tried to cast out this devil out of a man, this demon begins to speak back to them and he said, now wait a minute, Jesus I know and Paul I know, I recognize them, but who are you? But it's something else when the devil knows who you are. Now, the who's who of New Albany or Jeffersonville or Charlestown or Louisville may not know who you are, but if you're a believer tonight, then the devil knows who you are. Amen. Now, we recognize that Jesus knows who we are. We recognize that by predestination and foreknowledge, he already knew all these things that Brother Branham says in prayer lines, and we're so astounded by. It was just a glimpse into the mind of God, of an eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing Father, that Brother Branham could step into an atmosphere where his spirit could leave temporarily and the Holy Spirit could come in and speak those things through him. But God knew those things all along. God knew those people's address before they lived there. He knew their name if they'd been married before, back when they had their maiden name. He knew all about that and who they were going to be and all that. So it's no shock to us that God knows this. But I want to say again tonight, if you're really a true believer, then the devil knows who you are, and he trembles when you go to your knees because he knows that something's going to happen. So the devils, when they would try to say something, they couldn't even speak around this man because they knew him, they knew his power, they knew his authority, and he suffered not the devils to speak. Oh, if we could just glimpse a reality of St. John 14:12, that the works that I do shall you do also, and apply it to this and recognize when the devil comes to you and he tries to remind you of your past and he tries to remind you of your failures and he tries to tell you you'll never make it and he tries to tell you your children will never come in. He tries to tell you you'll never be healed. He tries to tell you that you're unworthy and you're unqualified. Then you can tell him, shut up, Satan. I didn't suffer you to speak. Don't you know who I am? I am a child of God. He knows who you are. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. The works that he did, we should do also.
That's right.
and all when it comes to signs and wonders and miracles and things, we can get excited. But he also would take time away and go out and pray. And when the disciples came, and here they were casting out this type of devil and that type of devil, and the sick was being healed. And then they come up on a little epileptic boy, and they couldn't cast the devil out. And Peter said, hey, let me show you how I did it over here in this city. And John said, well, here, let me show you how I prayed for sister so-and-so over here when she got delivered. And they begin to try everything, every type of formula and method that they had tried other places with other spirits and other believers and other sick persons and things like that. And they realized it was having no effect on this person. And Jesus comes along. He didn't jump up and down and scream and holler and kick. And he didn't try to say that, you know, he was going to do this and do that. He just spoke to the child, and the child was delivered. And they said, how is it with all our prayer and all our emotion and all our praying and with our raised voices and everything that we tried, why couldn't we deliver this? And he said, this is the kind that only comes by prayer and fasting. And so there would be times when he would recognize, because of the pressures of the crowd and because of the weariness of his body and because of the torment of the enemies, that he would have to go. Now, he was sinless. He was sinless. He didn't have to go repent of his sins. He didn't have to go pray through like we do in that manner to repent of his sins. And he didn't have to go and say, Lord, forgive me for this. And Lord, forgive me for the way I talked to Sister Susie. And forgive me for what I said on Facebook. And forgive me for how I acted at the restaurant the other night when the waitress brought me the wrong drink. And forgive me for this. He didn't have to go and do a bunch of repentance. But still, he would get himself away and go get a spiritual refill every once in a while. Yet here he was, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But because he was in a physical body, he still needed to get away and pray and just let his mind and his body rest. And if he needed to do it in a sinless, completely filled body, filled with the Holy Ghost, how much more do we, with a little portion of the Holy Ghost, in a sin-ridden body? Amen. You say, oh, no, Brother Nathan, I got the Holy Ghost. Your body is still sin-ridden. You just keep it under check by the baptism of the Holy Ghost because you pray through daily. But you just let your prayer life go for a few weeks, and I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got, the temptations of the flesh will begin to try to creep back in, because Paul didn't say, I died once at an altar. He said, I die daily. Amen. So Jesus would go and he would get the disciples away. Many times he would say, let's go away into a private place or whatever. And they would depart and try to get away from the crowds and pray. But our schedule today, oh, we're so busy. Jesus had the whole city of people waiting to be prayed for outside at the door. And he still took time to get away and to pray and to rest. So we should do it too. Amen. You need to take time out of your schedule. You say, I got this, I got work, I got kids, I got school, I got all these things. Well, you should never be too busy to pray. Never be too busy when you start to feel the pressures of the world dragging you down. But I got to help Brother so-and-so, and I got to help this one, and I got to help that one. I found out that if you get dragged down low enough, you're going to be the one needing help. And you'll get yourself dragged down into a depression or into a nervous breakdown or something if you don't get away and recharge your batteries every once in a while. Even pastors, prophets, whatever it is, they've got to get away every once in a while and get a recharge. Brother Branham did it. St. Paul did it. Elijah did it. Peter did it. Jesus did it. And you need to do it too. St. Mark chapter 16. Jesus now is telling, we've been reading about what he did. Now he's going to tell the church what they're going to do. This was his inaugural address as he's leaving, getting ready to leave earth, the last words that he speaks to them. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Somebody said, poor Brother Nathan, you know, he hasn't got it far enough along to where he just speaks the word. He still believes in laying hands on the sick. Well, the very last words out of Jesus' mouth told me to. So I believe in speak the word, but I believe in laying hands on people too. Amen. He commissioned us to. He commissioned us to preach the gospel. He commissioned us that if, you know, I don't believe in tempting the Lord our God and going out here and being a snake handler or a poison drinker. But if one comes across my path, I'm not going to live in fear that if the thing bites me, I'm going to be dead somewhere, because I have a promise. Amen. I'm not going to go out here and just drink poison because somebody dares me to. But if somebody slips some to me, I'm not going to live in fear because I have a promise. There was a little sister Brother Barry Coffey tells about, and I believe it was in Tanzania, that she was there and she was a believer, and her husband was a Muslim, and he was also a polygamist, and he had many wives, and so she began to find out that something about the message. She went and visited some of her relatives, and they gave her a book, and she came back and she began to read this, and when she began to read it, she began to believe what she was reading and to accept it as the word, and she not only became a Christian, she became a message believer. And so her husband and his other wives began to recognize that something was different about her, and because she had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they decided, we're going to put a stop to this, we'll kill the old gal. And so they began to poison her food, and they would put different amounts of poison in. They kept trying to give her more and more and more, and it had no effect on her. And so then they decided, well, you know, that's not working, so we'll try something else. So they had a little gas stove that they would hook with a little canister that had the fuel, kerosene or whatever it was to cook the little stove there. And they said, we'll tell you what we'll do. The next time it's her turn to cook, we'll change the fuel and we'll make it an explosive fluid that when she goes to light the fire, it'll just blow the whole thing up. And so they waited outside and she began to light a match and she smelled something. Seemed a little different. She took the canister and smelled it and realized it was some other fuel and poured it out, and her husband became a Christian. Why? Because Mark 16 is still in action. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now he's not just talking to the apostles. He's talking to the believer. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Again, Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. This was how Jesus acted back there in Galilee. Now, we just read Brother Branham say in 1959, however he acted back there in Galilee, if he's really the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's the same way that he's going to act tonight. Amen. It wasn't so from the beginning, 1960. Now, is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? You believe him to be the same in principle, same in power? The only thing different tonight that he's using your flesh and my flesh. Same Jesus, same signs, same wonders, same miracles, same actions following behind the believer, the same love expressed, the same grace, the same mercy. The only thing different is he's using your body and my body instead of one body back there in Galilee. Amen. Door to the Heart, 1960. He's the same yesterday, today, only it isn't his flesh. His blood sanctifies your flesh and my flesh that his spirit might come in and continue the work until the days of the apostles were over. Until 1965, until Brother Nathan dies, until your favorite personality around the message dies, until the consummation, that his spirit might come and continue the work until the consummation. So it doesn't matter. Paul said, what if some did disbelieve? Would that hinder? He said, God forbid. God's still going to do the works. He will find somebody. He is searching and seeking for somebody that will allow these spirits to be made flesh in their life and recognize, hey, I can do the works. Amen. I can't. It's not name it and claim it. It's not roll up your sleeve and, well, Brother Trevor, let's go find somebody that gets hit by a car tonight and we're going to go raise the dead. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a believer when there's a need and when they recognize the need that there will be signs and wonders following the believer, not because of their title, but because of their faith in God's word that he's still able to perform what he said he would. You know, we have so many testimonies. They flood in all the time, and we've shared so many of them with you about Ezekiel 16:6 and how that God can use that scripture to stop bleeding. We've seen it stop nosebleeds and cuts on hands and fingers. We've seen it stop brain bleeds and female troubles and all kinds of different bleeds. And yet, you know, it seems like we have such faith in that because we've seen it so many times. But the same God that said Ezekiel 16:6 said all these other scriptures that we're reading tonight. Amen. That they can lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. So when you come up here, whether you have a nosebleed or not, whatever you have need of, if it's cancer, if it's diabetes, if it's tuberculosis, hepatitis B, migraines, whatever it would be, when you come up here, if you can have that same faith in the scripture that, hey, the same God that said Ezekiel 16:6, and we haven't seen it fail, that same God said that they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. I believe the same faith in a different verse will perform it just as much as any other. I don't think God has favorites that, well, I'll perform this one more specifically and redundantly than I will the other. But what is it? Your faith and my faith. If we can get our faith up to that point to really recognize that when God said something, if we take him at his word, regardless of how it looks, regardless of how it sounds, regardless of the circumstance or the amount of time that it takes to fulfill the promise will be fulfilled. Brother Lee was talking last night to me about, you know, different testimonies and things. I was telling the brothers about the Louisiana meetings there and some things that Brother Tim had shared with me about them dealing with these evil spirits and things that had come through the prayer line. And he brought out the point. He said it reminded him of what Brother Branham said as we looked at the quote recently where he said that man had the dream and said Satan was just a little bitty thing, but he'd come at him and he'd say, boo. And he said, I'd jump back. And he said, every time I jumped back, the devil got bigger. And he said, he kept getting bigger and bigger, and I got smaller and smaller. And he said, but finally, I grabbed the word of God, and I said, boo back. Amen. And he said, the devil got smaller, and I got bigger. Right. I think sometimes we forget to say, boo back, devil. Oh, and we get bad reports. Oh, you might be losing your job, and they might be cutting your pay, and this might happen. The government may not cover your tuition this year. You may fall into a different tax bracket, and your medicine and your insurance and things may be different. And the doctor said they see a speck on a scan, and if we're not careful, we allow fear to begin to develop over us, and we begin to imagine the worst and think the worst and expect the worst and profess the worst. And you know what happens? We get the worst. Because the Bible said that, you know, he's a high priest of our confession. So if you want to go around with a negative attitude and a negative confession, the devil just keeps saying boo, boo, boo. And you'll keep saying, okay, I'll take those symptoms, and okay, I'll accept that bad news, and I'll accept this box of rattlesnakes, and I'll accept that, and I'll accept that, and I'll accept that. But why don't we stand and say, boo, devil? Boo back. I'm not going to accept your box of rattlesnakes. I have a word. I have a promise. I have a God that's greater than your threats or your all the concerns and pressures and worry you would try to place upon me. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You realize that most of Christianity and most of message people leave this back at Calvary or leave this back on the shores of Galilee. But I want to say tonight that there's a great mystery among the bride of Jesus Christ that God is being made flesh again in this generation. Raising Jairus' daughter, 1956, God was manifested in the flesh. That's right. And now he's manifested in your flesh. By adopted sons and daughters to the kingdom of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right. And you become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, church, you got the power if you got the faith to use it with. That's it. You've got the power. Brother Bram said in another quote, though, it doesn't contradict. He said, you don't have any power, you have authority. But what is authority? The authority is that the power is already there. Amen. Brother Bram said, Jesus has already done everything that he could for you. He's already healed you. He's already saved you. He's already done all these things. He's paid the price. He's paid for redemption. He's paid for all these things. But all you have to do is have the faith to accept it and recognize the power is already there. I just have to exercise the faith to use it. Amen. Now, there's something about it. My mind goes to 20 different directions of things that I could use for this example. But, you know, if you have, sometimes we're so worried that, well, if I use this, you know, like Brother Bram talks about the little goldfish, they're drinking sparingly. and I better not drink too much because I might drink it all up. And he said, can you imagine a little goldfish out there in the ocean afraid to drink it all up, or a little mouse out in the granaries of Egypt afraid, I better eat sparingly because I might eat this whole thing up. And we think how silly that looks, but when it comes to the promises of God, if we're not careful, we do even worse than that, because his promises are so much more infinite than the granaries of Egypt or the waters of the sea. And we, you know, if we're not careful, well, you know, don't use the garage door, because, you know, if we use the garage door up and down too many times, it might break. Or don't use this or don't use that, because Brother Bram said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. And so if you don't exercise something, many times it'll begin to rust out and you won't be able to use it at all. So I would encourage you tonight to exercise your faith. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I don't have much faith. Well, Jesus said that mustard-sized faith would move mountains. So if all you got is mustard-sized faith, exercise that. Amen. Then when you see those mountains begin to move, what is it? What did Paul say? That hope breeds or experience breeds hope. That when you begin to experience, you see, hey, what he's done for others, he can do for me. And what he did for me last year, he can do for me again. And then we begin to recognize, and then hope turns into faith, and we recognize that, oh my, I do have the power to exercise this faith. There is power laying there. And if I can just anchor my faith and believe it the way that it says it, then I'll receive what I say. I'll receive what I claim, because it's a promise. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The purpose of the Son of God being made manifested in the flesh was to destroy the works of the devil. So if that was the case back there 2,000 years ago, then if God is going to promise that in this age again, he's going to manifest himself in human flesh, and Brother Branham said that what flesh is that? Your flesh and my flesh. Then what is the purpose of God wanting to manifest himself in flesh again today? Is to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. To drive all the fear and torment and unbelief and things out of people's life. God is manifesting himself in your life, not only to destroy the works of the devil in your own life and say, well, I used to smoke and I used to do this. Praise God, I got delivered. That's wonderful that those works of the devil are destroyed in your life. Now go destroy them in somebody else's life. Go tear up Satan's kingdom somebody else. Don't just sit there on the pew and stare and blink your eyes and say, oh my, I wish I could preach like Brother Nathan could preach. Go out and do something that you can do. Amen. Amen. Exercise your faith. Let him manifest himself through you to tear Satan's kingdom down. Abraham, 1961. He was in pillar of fire once. Then he come, was made flesh. Now he's come in your flesh. People get so confused on Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. People around the message still get tied up with that. Is it Trinity? Is it two Lords? Was it one Lord? What is it? It's so simple when you see it, that is the same God manifesting himself in three different offices, in three different manifestations. Back there is Spirit in pillar of fire once upon a time. And then that pillar of fire condescended and came down and dwelled with us in a flesh body here on earth once. And then he went back to pillar of fire so that he could divide himself and come back in your flesh and my flesh and in every believer's flesh that would accept the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father above us, a Spirit, Son, Jesus Christ with us in a flesh body, and now the Holy Ghost in your body. Amen. It's a mystery, but it's revealed if you can just receive it. Amen. It doesn't have to be hidden anymore. It's not a hidden mystery anymore. It's been revealed. It's just whether we can accept the word or not. He was in pillar of fire once. Then he come and was made flesh. Now he's come in your flesh. Again, in the same sermon. Oh, brother, the angel of the Lord is here tonight. He's Jehovah God in your flesh. Amen. We read the Old Testament and we hear things, stories, as Paul said, as we read it Sunday morning, time would fail to tell of Jephthah and Barak and Samson and all these men that stopped the mouth of lions and that called fire down out of heaven and all these things. And these men were anointed by the same Holy Spirit that we're anointed with, but none of them could claim what we can claim tonight, that Jehovah God was in their flesh. They could claim the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Ghost had not fully come yet till the day of Pentecost, and they couldn't claim Jehovah God in the flesh. They could feel the presence. They could feel the anointing. They could do the works. Moses could pick up the pen and write with the same Holy Spirit that you can write. They could speak and prophesy and things under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but their vessels, the blood of bulls and goats, would not sanctify them to a place where that Holy Spirit could come and live in those unclean vessels. But I'd like to remind the devil tonight that now he can come and abide and sanctify those unclean vessels to where it's that same Jehovah God that spoke on Mount Sinai, that same Jehovah God that could provide a ram for Abraham, that same Jehovah God that can lift the gates of Gaza and slay 1,000 Philistines is living inside of human beings tonight. It's the same Jehovah God in your flesh. Don't leave him on Calvary. Don't leave him back in 1965. He's God in your flesh. Abraham, 1961 again. Now he can use my flesh the same as he could create some, because he made me anyhow. He's talking about when Elohim came to Abraham. And he said, God, he didn't have to send through a virgin like he did through Mary. He said, God, in this case, he just picked up some calcium and potash and the different elements and just spoke, and there was a body, and God in spirit form stepped into this flesh body, a theophany that he had made, and walks down and he eats with Abraham and he drinks the milk of, and he begins to commune with Abraham and talk to him. And he said, now if he could create a body back there and step in it and use it, he said, then he can use my body, because he created me anyhow. If he created a body back there and could step into it, just supernaturally begins to put this together and steps into a body that he formed, what about the body that he formed in your mother's womb and breathed the breath of life into you? If he could use that body back there with Abraham, how much more can he use your body? Sometimes we don't realize, I hope I don't embarrass him tonight, but Philip, but sometimes we don't realize how much these young people pick up and are absorbing and things like that. And Philip came to me the other day and he had a question for me, and I was so proud of him that he was even able to process this and think it all through and realize this. I'd never sat down and taught him this. But he came to me and he said, Daddy, he said, we know, because Brother Branham taught us that those two angels that went down to Sodom, that was Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. And he said, so if they were Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, he said, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say that Brother Branham was Jesus, Daddy. But he said, if they were the angels of Sodom, then wouldn't Brother Branham have something to do with that one that stayed with Abraham, that Elohim? Wouldn't he be the type of that? I said, you're absolutely right. Amen. That God could use flesh back there. That God could step into a body and take control of it and use it. But don't leave it with that Son of Man ministry. Amen. We believe it. We thank God for eyes to recognize and see the Son of Man ministry, that he could turn his back to the audience just as Elohim turned his back. Yet that didn't make him Jesus, but it meant that Jesus was living on the inside of him. But don't leave it back there and just say that God could use Brother Branham's flesh. But I want to remind the devil tonight that he can use your flesh and he can use my flesh. Abraham, 1961, he can use my flesh the same as he could create some, because he made me anyhow. He could use your flesh. He created you. Don't you think that? He said, now, if you'll just open up your heart and get yourself out of the way, he will come in, can use you. He's the same God. He gives the same signs. What's he talking about? Yield. Open up your heart and get yourself out of the way. I think that's yielding, isn't it? Get yourself out of the way. But Brother Nathan, I don't know about this. What if I do this and so-and-so doesn't understand? What about, I don't understand all the mechanics and dynamics of it and everything. Doesn't matter. I don't have to understand it all. As I've said before, when I'm getting ready to, Lord willing, go in June and preach for Brother Jack and Brother Danny and Brother Gene there in Florida. And when I get on that plane and they begin to lift off of the air at LaGuardia, or not at LaGuardia, but over here at the airport in Louisville, and they begin to rev those engines up and stuff, I don't have to get out the 3,000-page manual and understand all the mechanics of it. Nor do I have to understand all the dynamics of the combustion and all that. I just know that it works, Brother Hoover. Amen. How do you know, Brother Nathan? I've been there and I've experienced it. Hey, amen. I don't have to understand all the inner workings of the mind of God and try to figure all that out in this flesh body. You'll go crazy trying to do it. But I recognize that what His Word said, if somebody came and told you, it's possible for you know, I don't know how many, Brother Trevor might know how many tons some of these 747s and things are, but however many tons that they weigh sitting there on a plane, for there to be a turbine that could propel fast enough to get the flight, to get the weight off of that. If you went and asked somebody in the 1860s and they saw that mass of things sitting there, they'd say, "You're crazy, son. You're crazy, son. It's absolutely impossible. It's unscientific." But yet it was scientific. They're just little pea brain minds hadn't progressed to the point to recognize what science could really produce. Amen. And if science could produce that and could do things that to somebody who had never experienced it, to see something that large and see some of these, what is it, Brother Trevor, that I always get it wrong? Is it the C5 or the C2 or something like that carries all the tanks? C5? I said B2 once and he made fun of me, so there is a difference. I've seen them at Dover Air Force Base where they have to get so many hours on those C-5s. And if you've never heard a C-5, you haven't heard what a plane can really sound like. And they'll get them on those runways and they'll crank up those engines. And these things can carry tanks and jeeps and all kinds of things over across the ocean and deliver it to our troops. And they'll crank those things up and they'll take off and they'll circle around Dover and they'll come back in and land right there again. They'll keep taking off and landing and taking off again and landing because they have to have so much experience as pilots of so many takeoffs and landings and so many hours in the air before they can go fly them, you know, to actually go do a military operation or whatever it would be. And so when you see that and to take some little native, a pygmy or something in Africa and show them that great big C-5 and say, "This thing can lift up in the air and fly like one of these birds that you have here," they would think that you were insane because they had never seen or experienced anything like that. So don't feel bad for your coworker or some of those out here when you say, "Hey, a cancer dropped off of somebody's head, or somebody got healed of hepatitis, or somebody had a crooked spine that went straight," and they look at you like you're crazy. They've never experienced anything like it. And I don't understand the mechanics and the dynamics of it, Brother David, but I've experienced it, and I know that it's real. If you'll just open up your heart and get yourself out of the way, He can come in and can use you. Putting on the whole armor of God, 1962. Have you enough faith to touch Him? If you could touch Him, then I'll yield myself to Him and let Him use me and use you to bring faith to the rest of the audience. That's a challenge, isn't it? You believe it? Do you believe it? Would it strengthen your faith to see Elohim? Would it strengthen your faith to see Elohim? Not you, not me, but Him. He says, what is it? The Word. What is it? The protection, the armament, the armor of God, the Word of God made manifest in human flesh, your flesh, my flesh, to see the works of God. He says, amen, I believe it. When you came into the building tonight, you may have felt defeated. You may have felt like you couldn't fight your way out of a wet paper bag, let alone defeat the devil. But I hope by the time we leave here, you can recognize that St. John 14:12 is not just a little cute verse in the Bible that we memorize as a child or as a Sunday school student or something like that. But it is the truth. It is the gospel. It is the Word. And if you can apply that to your own life and recognize that St. John 14:12 isn't just for the pastor. It's not just for the prophet. It's not just for some person you've raised up on some spiritual pedestal, but it's to the believer. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Look away to Jesus, 1963. He sat with his back turned to the tent where Sarah was and told Abraham what she was thinking in the tent. God in a human flesh, wearing human clothes. And that's the only way God can do it today, is when He gets in your flesh. See, showing that God would be manifested in human flesh. How's God going to do something in this age, Brother Lee? Does it all rest on Brother Branham? Does it all rest on Brother Nathan or some other pastor or some great teacher or some person that's memorized a whole lot of quotes in scriptures? The only way God can do something today is when He gets in your flesh and begins to work through you through me, through whoever will yield themselves enough to God. That may be some huge miraculous thing. That may be that somebody drops dead on you, dead by you there, walking down the street, and you pray for them and they raise. Or it may be something as simple as somebody at your job that's dealing with depression or dealing with fear, and you just begin to quote some scriptures to them or start to show them love and express how much that they are loved and cared for, and it drives that demon away. And maybe it seems so simple to you. All I did was just express a little bit of love to him. But I want to say tonight that the healing power of love is greater than almost anything else. Brother Ram said the power of love is the greatest power and the greatest force on the earth. He didn't outquote the maniac in Portland. He didn't outmemorize the killer bull. He didn't outscream the hornets. He didn't outshout them. He didn't outdance them. He didn't outrun them. Love was projected, and sovereign grace came in. How are we going to do these things, Brother Nathan? How are we going to do the greater works? Perfect love casteth out fear. I shared it with Brother Trevor the other day, and I won't share it in its entirety, but I had a dream about a week ago. And in the dream, I was at a church, not our church, but a different church. And the person there was a person there in the church sitting near the back, and I was standing kind of back in the entryway. And this person, just when they looked back towards the entryway, you could tell they had wild, crazy eyes, like something demon possession or mental possession or something like that. And as they were looking at me, this is a dream, remember. This isn't an actual happening. It's a dream I had about a week ago. And they were able, with their mind or with this demon spirit they had on them, whatever it was, they were able to physically manipulate objects. And they started sending steak knives at me, flying through the air at me. And one of them caught my suit coat sleeve and kind of just nicked my arm a little bit. And so I started to begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ and to rebuke that devil that was on him. And I recognized when I was doing that, Brother Jimmy, it began to stop the enemy to where they didn't have any power to hurt me anymore. They didn't have any power to do that, but it wasn't helping them. It was protecting me, but it wasn't helping them. All the rebuking, all the claiming the blood of Jesus and all that, it was wonderful to protect me, but it wasn't helping them any. And so in my mind, I begin to think, Lord, help them. Help them to experience your love in a way that they've never experienced before. And so I begin to pray thoughts of love and peace on them instead of rebuking the devil, and the thing left them immediately. Right. Perfect love casts out fear. Yes. Some of these things like they experienced down there in Louisiana last weekend, you can't outrun them. You can't outscream them. You can't outshout them. The prophets of Baal shouted a whole lot louder than Elijah did. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against shouting if it's the real Holy Ghost that's doing it. Not just because your neighbor's doing it and you want to do it. I'm not against those things. But when it comes to dealing with demon spirits, you better have love for that person that you're dealing with. You don't love the spirit that's on them, but you better have that love to be able to pray for the person in love and say, God, help that person. That's the only thing that'll help them. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ will protect you. You can claim his blood and you can rebuke the devil and stop it from hurting you. But that's not going to help them. But real, pure, true, unadulterated love of Jesus Christ for that person, it'll conquer demons. It'll conquer fear. It'll conquer hate. It'll conquer pride. Oh, my. Brother Bram said it's the greatest force that's ever been on the face of the earth. Jehovah Jireh, part 2, 1964. Now, He promised that he would appear in the last days in the form of human flesh again, in your flesh, like he did at the days of Sodom. God, which was Christ manifested in flesh, now in his church, his bride. Again, be not afraid, 1960. God himself proving that in the last days before the world's history would end, that God would manifest himself again in human flesh. Hallelujah. He wants to come into your flesh. Let me read it again. He wants to come into your flesh. He wants to come into my flesh and manifest himself. Can you imagine God? This was his purpose. This was his plan for all of eternity. He was looking to come and dwell inside of man in fellowship with man. That was his whole plan, was to come. And when he created Adam and Adam fell, now it caused a divide between man and God, that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't come and thoroughly cleanse for him to come and live inside of man. So he had a plan of redemption already in place, that he could come, and one that was sinless would have to die as a propitiation for our sins, to take away our sins and sanctify us, so that he could now come and dwell inside of us. And now a lot of us get to the point of, well, I believe the message, and well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that's wonderful, but he wants so much more than that. He doesn't just want to be Lord of your Sunday morning. He doesn't just want to be your Lord when you're sick, or when you have a bill that's due, or when there's pressures of life and you cry out to him. He wants to come and commune with you. He wants to live inside of you and express himself through you, so that others can see that he's still a living, resurrected Jesus Christ that's the same that he was back there on the shores of Galilee. He's longing. Brother Bram said in one place, he's longing for somebody that'll bring him a fresh drink of Pentecostal water. Now, he's not talking about oneness water, or he's not talking about two-ness water, or he's not talking about, you know, some Pentecostal denominational water that somebody bring him a cup of water that said this Pentecostal denomination or that Pentecostal denomination. What's he talking about? The Pentecostal experience. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, that somebody could come and he could come and dwell and live in them and express himself through their flesh. That was his purpose. And then many times we get to the spot of, well, I've received the Holy Ghost and I'm just waiting on the rapture. Well, if you've received the Holy Ghost, it's not just to put you up on a shelf and wait and say, well, I'll just wait till the rapture comes so that this cup can fly away. But he wants to put you in service. Amen. He wants to use you. He wants to defeat the works of Satan through you. He wants to encourage those people at your job through you. He wants somebody to shine a light at your school that maybe has never experienced the things that we've seen God do in this age. He wants to use you to be an encouragement to your spouse. He wants to use you to be an encouragement to your children at home, or if they're away from home, whatever it would be. He wants to use you to be that encourager to somebody else that maybe they're on the verge of taking their life. Maybe they're on the verge of giving up and backsliding, whatever it would be. And just a word from you that the Holy Spirit places on your lips could change that entire situation. You say, but I'm not a prophet, Brother Nathan. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not even a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. He didn't say these signs shall follow the Sunday school teachers and the pastors and the prophets. He said the believers. Amen. Now that includes, if the pastor's a believer, that includes him. If the prophet's a believer, that includes him. The Sunday school teacher, the housewife, whatever it would be. But these signs shall follow the believers. In my name they'll cast out devils. All this that we just read. And that day you'll know that I am in you and you in me. Brother Bram said, what day? This day. The works that I do shall you do also. Who shall do also? The believer. Perseverance, 1962. Let me read you this one. We'll close. Musicians, you can go ahead and come if you like. And if these words are true, he's appearing in human flesh, then you let him appear in your flesh. Let him appear in your flesh, giving you faith in his promised word, St. John 14:12. The works that I do shall you also.
Amen.
It's easy for us to recognize him, that he appeared in flesh back there in the revival campaigns, different brothers casting out devils and the sick being healed and the blind's eyes being opened. It's easy for us to recognize him appearing in flesh in the Son of Man ministry, and Brother Bram turning his back and saying, Sister so-and-so over here has this, and this is her name, and this is her address, and I see the doctor writing this on her chart there and things like that. It's easy for us to recognize him appearing in human flesh in that way. But can we open our eyes and recognize that he's appearing in human flesh in that one sitting beside us in the pew? And can we take it further and recognize he's appearing in human flesh in that one we look at in the mirror? But it's sometimes hardest for us to recognize it there, because we don't just see the appearing of the Holy Spirit, but we see all the flaws and all the mistakes and all the other things that the devil tries to throw in our face. But he's longing to appear in human flesh. Whose flesh? Your flesh. He says, if these words are true, he's appearing in human flesh, then let him appear in your flesh. Let him come and live in you. Not so that you can say, look how clean I can live, everybody. Look how good I am. Look how fast I can quote scriptures. Look how good I'm doing. Look at this. Look, I haven't cussed in 17 years. I haven't did this. I haven't did that. That's good. Those things are wonderful. But that's not why I want him to come and live in me. So that I can say, look what a great something I am. But so that somebody else can see he's a resurrected Lord Jesus. Amen. So somebody else can see that, hey, if he can work through Brother Nathan, he can work through me. If he can work through Brother Hoover and Brother Jimmy and Brother Lee and Brother Arnie and Brother Layton and some of these brothers, he can work through me too. Amen. They're just sinners saved by grace like I am. Right. Well, I knew him back when they was this, and I knew him back when, and now I see what God's doing through him. He can do it through you too. Amen. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh, again, promised in this generation. Don't just leave him back on Calvary. Recognize that he's trying to appear in your flesh so that he can use you to speak a word to somebody. So he can use you to bring deliverance to somebody. That he can use you to loose somebody that's in bondage of chains of depression or anxiety or addiction or whatever it be. You say, Brother Nathan, I don't think I could ever do that. Hey, I can't either, but the one that lives inside of me can. If I can just yield myself to him. Yes. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, have your way is our desire. In our lives, in our conversations, Lord, in our church, in our homes, in our families, at our job, at our school, wherever we go, whatever we say, Lord, at the airports, out on the streets, in the shopping centers, in the grocery stores. Oh, Lord, we need you to come and manifest yourself through us. Lord, not so that we can brag what a great something that we are, but Lord, there's people out here that are dying in sin and shame. There's people that are depressed, that are taking their lives left and right, that are being bullied and dealing with demon spirits and all kinds of oppressions. Lord, we don't have the power in ourselves to deliver them. Lord, we don't have the ability. We don't have the strength in ourselves, Lord, but we recognize by your word that we have the authority. We recognize by your word, by the quotes and scriptures we just read tonight, that if we can just raise our faith to a point to accept it, that the power is already there. The dynamics and the mechanics are already there. It just takes our faith to put it in action. Our faith is like the key that we place in the car. It's already sitting there. The engine's tuned up. The oil levels are good. The gas levels are good. It's sitting there. The battery has a full charge. All the spark plugs are cleaned and shiny and everything's ready. All the cylinders are ready to fire and the pistons are ready to rise up and down. And the transmission doesn't have any skips or beats in it. And it's sitting there. But until we take that key and place it into the ignition and turn it, what good does it do us? Lord, we have all the promises that you could have ever promised. We have all the testimonies that any generation could ever imagine to have of things that you've done. And yet so many times we leave it lay there and we find ourselves in situations and we don't know where to turn or what to do. But Lord, help us to take you at your word. Help us to recognize that you're not just talking about somebody else when you say these things. But help us to take it personal for us. That the works that you did, the life that you lived, the signs that followed you, the ministry that you had of love and mercy, the expression of that you could have for people, the empathy that you could express for dying humanity. Lord, that we can express that too. Lord, the one that could reach down and lift up those that had stooped in sin and shame, that you can use us to do the same thing. That you can work through our hands and our lips to heal the sick and save the lost, and raise the dead and deliver the demon oppressed. Work through us, Lord. Help us to yield ourselves in such a way, Lord, to where we would just become empty vessels that you could come and work through. Help us, Lord, to get away like you did and pray and recharge our batteries from the things of life that drag us down and get us so discouraged and upset and unfocused, Lord. And help us to get our eyes back on you, centered on you. Oh, help us, Jesus. May you come and be made flesh in us again. Work through us, speak through us, live through us, raise our faith to a point, Lord, where we can accept these promises, not as something for somebody else or something for 50 years down the road, but Lord, help us to recognize that is for me, present tense in my situation, present tense for my family, present tense for my loved ones. I take you at your word tonight, Lord. May I become a manifestation of your word. May I be obedient to your word, Lord. May people see your word living through me. May it be the word in action. May it be faith in action, not historical faith, not intellectual faith, but actionable faith, Lord. Work through us, Lord, any way that you see fit. Have your way in our lives. Use us, Lord, to be a help to others. May our lives write another book of Acts behind it, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, it's the blood that Jesus shed for me. Oh, gives me strength. Oh, from day to day, it will never lose its power. Didn't lose it on Calvary, didn't lose it in some other age. Oh, but it reaches to my highest mountain. Oh, gives me strength. Oh, from day to day, I know it will never lose its power. Oh, it still soothes all my doubts, and it calms all my fears. Oh, gives me strength from day to day. all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, and He said in His Word that He would provide. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire. And it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, it's Jehovah Jireh. And He's living inside. Oh, He's living inside. Jehovah Jireh, He's still living inside. It's the Holy Ghost that's keeping me alive. Oh, and He said in His Word that He would provide every need He'd provide. Oh, He would provide. Well, He said in His Word that He would provide. The Holy Ghost is keeping me. Oh, He's living in my flesh, and He's keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. He's keeping me alive, and He's living in your flesh. He's keeping you alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping you alive. Oh, and my God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. Church, He is alive. Oh, my God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, I feel Him in my head. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. Oh, I feel Him all over me. Oh, no, my God's not dead. Church, He is alive. No, our God's not dead. You can know Him in the power of His resurrection. He's not dead. Oh, He is alive. 'Cause I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. Oh, I feel Him all over me. Oh, my God's not dead. Oh, my God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. Oh, I feel Him all over me. Amen. You recognize He's not dead tonight? Oh, my, this must have been about how Brother David felt, Brother Jimmy, when he brought the ark into the city there, and he began to run around and around and around it, and his wife looked out the window and said, look at that old holy roller out there. Said, goodness gracious, what an embarrassment. What, he said, oh, if you just knew Him like I knew Him, you'd understand. She didn't understand because she'd never felt Him like that before, Brother Hoover. If she'd felt Him like that, she'd know what the prophet would say when he said, oh my, I get out there sometimes. He said, if they saw me, they'd think I was out of the insane institution somewhere, running around, around, around a tree, praising the Lord. Say, what makes you act like that? Oh, 'cause my God's not dead. Oh, he said, if your religion doesn't have any emotion, you better bury it. Oh, 'cause He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Feel. praising Him. I don't know about you, oh, but tonight I feel like praising Him. Oh, I'm gonna praise Him in the morning, gonna praise Him all day long. Church, why don't you praise the Lord while we have this chance? We may not have it tomorrow. Oh, so now, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? I can see little David running. He said, I'll praise Him every morning. Oh, I'll praise Him all day long. Oh, because I feel like praising Him. He told his wife, said, honey, if you don't praise the Lord, it won't hinder me. I'll keep praising Him anyhow. Oh, if you don't praise the Lord, it won't hinder me. Oh, I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. Then I'll praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Praise Him all week long. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Daniel opened up the windows and said, oh, I feel like praying to Him. Oh, I feel like praying to Him. I don't care what the king says. I'll pray every morning. Then I'll pray all day long. Oh, I feel like praying. Oh, church, now why don't you praise my Lord while we have this chance? Oh, don't be ashamed of Him here. Oh, why don't you praise the Lord while we have this chance? Oh, I want to praise Him in the morning. Gonna praise Him. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, you say, I don't feel like praising Him. I'm too tired. Praise Him anyhow. Oh, praise the Lord, whether I'm tired in body whether there's money in the bank or whether it's overdrawn. Dear Lord, no matter what my tomorrows bring or what they have in store, oh, let's just worship Him together.
Men like Philip and Nathaniel and different ones, believers, back in the New Testament, they had looked and longed to see the Word made manifest, and here it came walking down the road to them. Maybe they wasn't looking for it in a cheap pair of sandals and an old robe that somebody had wove without a seam. Maybe they wasn't looking for it to come that way, but here it came walking down the road to them. Maybe you didn't expect to see it manifested by the guy sitting in the pew beside you, or the one across the aisle from you. Maybe you didn't expect to see it in some Kentuckian or Indiana boy or South Dakota boy or whatever it was. But the Word's being made manifested. The Word in flesh again today. Whose flesh? Your flesh. My flesh. Amen. What a privileged people we are. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, sometimes, hallelujah. Oh, sometimes praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Oh, you feel His presence here tonight.
Oh, sometimes. Oh, we praise You, Lord, gently singing our hearts in one accord. Just worship Him a little while tonight. He's worthy of it. Oh, sometimes, hallelujah, sometimes. We praise You, Lord. Oh, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes, yes, Jesus, we worship. Oh, let's sing it to Him tonight.
Oh, sometimes, sometimes, oh, we praise You. Oh, sometimes, gently sing.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank You. Thank You.
Yes, he is holy. He's holy. Oh, holy is the Lord. Oh, he is holy. Holy.
He's here. His presence is here. You don't have to live under fear. You don't have to live under torment. You don't have to live under the lies of the devil anymore. It's a finished work at Calvary. Amen. What a blessed people we are. Feel His presence like this. Amen. There's people that would give all their wealth to just be able to experience the things that we experience week after week, the presence of God and testimonies and healings. And we're blessed. Amen. Why don't we just continue to sing it? And those of you that want to be dismissed or need to be dismissed, you can go ahead and go. But we just want to keep this atmosphere for those that want to stay and worship or pray. Let God continue to do what He's doing in their life. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go.
Yes, you.